In November of 2001, the editors of Sports Illustrated magazine thought about the greatest comebacks in history. And so they published a list of what they called the 10 top comebacks of all time. It was a broad list, and here are a few. Elvis Presley was on it due to his TV special in 1968 that revived his sagging career. Muhammad Ali, for when he returned from his forced 7-year exile from boxing to reclaim the world championship. President Harry Truman made the cut because of his 1948 victory over Thomas Dewey after all the polls had Truman losing by a huge margin. Michael Jordan's return to basketball made the list. And so did all of you mankind for recovering from the Black Plague of the 14th century that killed 25 million people. The number two all-time comeback was a tie between Japan and Germany for their recovery from devastation after World War II. But now, are you ready for the number one comeback? The number one comeback, the greatest comeback of all times, named by the editors of Sports Illustrated in their November 12, 2001 issue was Jesus Christ coming back from the dead. Amen. Praise the Lord. And yeah, this secular magazine acknowledging that the greatest comeback in all of humanity was when Jesus rose from the dead. Friends, every Christmas we gather in amazement that Jesus would leave the splendor of heaven and come to our little planet, become a human and experience life on earth. And then on the Christian calendar, we wait a few months and we gather on Good Friday in humble amazement that our Lord Jesus would die on the cross for our sins and that he would take the punishment we deserve. And then we come to this day, Resurrection Sunday. Amen. To the climax, to the highest point, to the culmination of Jesus's ministry, and now we celebrate not just that he came to earth, not merely that he died, but he rose from the dead. Amen?
Amen.
Now, as people, we should be dancing on the ceiling.
Amen?
Amen. We are so excited. I'm excited. Come on, smile a while. Hey, man, I'm just teasing you. Friends, this is the excitement of Christianity. That is the uniqueness of our faith. And as the wonderful old hymn says, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Isn't that lovely? Friends, the first Easter was the best day ever in the history of the world. Easter changed everything. And Easter has changed everything and can change everything for you. Because Jesus is alive. And God wants to give you some things like that first day. He wants to give that to you today. I just want to give you a little background to our text. The day after the Jewish Sabbath, the Bible says Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, the mother of James and Salome, they came to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. In the meanwhile, an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, rolled the stone away, and sat on it. And so the very first Easter, friends, we learn something that God wants to give you and I. He wants to give you and I the truth worth trusting. The truth worth trusting. It's the sure truth we see in Matthew 28 verse 5 and 6, where the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." Listen to this. He's not here. He is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Jesus was crucified, friends. That meant he was dead. At the Jewish trial of Jesus, they found him guilty for blasphemy, saying that he was God. Then the Roman governor, Pilate, had Jesus flogged. Jesus was beaten to near death. Ophthalmologist and pastor and author, Dr. C. Truman Davis, studied this brutal beating that left Jesus on the very edge of death. This is what he said. Jesus was tied to a post and beaten at least 39 times with a whip that had jagged bones and stones and lumps of lead woven into it. Again and again, the whip was brought down with full force on his bare shoulders, back, and legs. At first, the heavy whip cut through the skin only. But as the blows continued, they cut deeper into the underlying tissue. And by the end, the skin on his back was left hanging like long ribbons, and the entire area was unrecognizable, an unrecognizable mass of torn, bleeding tissue. Undoubtedly, Jesus was in serious to critical condition even before the crucifixion. It's no wonder he was not able to carry his own cross. Investigative journalist and author Lee Strobel, he explained that 5 to 7 inch spikes were driven through the Lord's wrist, crushing the median nerve and the ulnar nerve, which we call the funny bone, but it's not a bone. Experts say that it was like squeezing your funny bone with a pliers. Death by crucifixion, friends, was so painful that a new word in the English language was created to describe it. That word is excruciating. It comes from a Latin word which means out of the cross. After Jesus' wrists and feet were nailed securely, he was hoisted to hang on the cross. Crucifixion is basically a slow death by suffocation. You know, people who hanged on or hung on the cross, they could breathe in. They could breathe out, but they couldn't breathe in unless they pushed their feet up with their feet. And of course they did. It was excruciating pain, and it could go on for days. But if the Romans wanted to hasten death, They used a hammer. They used a steel hammer to break the victim's shin bones so that he couldn't push up anymore. He couldn't breathe. And so death came within minutes. That's what the executioners did to the men on either side of Jesus. But when they came to Jesus, he was already dead. This was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy about the Messiah, which says his bones would remain unbroken. Just read Psalm 34, verse 19 and 20. To confirm that Jesus was dead, a soldier took the spear and plunged it between his ribs, puncturing the sac around the heart and the heart itself, causing clear fluid and blood to flow out. And eyewitnesses recorded that in John 19:34. Nobody, friends, came down from the cross alive. Not even Jesus. But now, friends, as we speak, Jesus is alive. The angel said it. He's not here. He is risen. Let's look at Matthew 28, verse 9 in our text this morning. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying to these women, rejoice. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. A lot of people saw Jesus alive after his death. The Bible reports that Jesus appeared to hundreds of people during the 40 days after his resurrection. We read in John 20, he appeared to Mary Magdalene. We read in Luke 24, he appeared to the two men walking on the road to Emmaus. We read in the scriptures that he appeared to the disciples who couldn't believe their eyes at first. And in Luke 24, verse 39, Jesus said, look at my hands, look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost or a spirit, because ghosts and spirits don't have bodies, as you see that I do. I like how Paul gave this wonderful report about Jesus' resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 to 8. He talks about Jesus' resurrection appearances. Paul says, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now just listen, dear friends. And that he was seen by Cephas, that's Peter, then by the 12. And after that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present. While Paul was writing this, some of those 500 were still alive, but some have fallen asleep. Some have died, Paul says. And after that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. What Paul is saying, he was seen by me as one who was born at the wrong time. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, friends, wasn't a delusion of a broken-hearted disciple. The disciples weren't hallucinating. Large numbers of people saw Jesus alive at different times, at different places, and in different circumstances over a 40-day period. Lee Strobel pointed out that if every eyewitness of Jesus' resurrection were called to the witness stand, it would take over 128 hours to hear their testimony at only 15 minutes a person. In other words, it would take from breakfast on Monday until dinner time on Friday, listening around the clock to hear the testimony of those witnesses. Jesus is alive.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jesus is alive. And this is the truth worthy of your trust. This is not fake news. One of the most successful defense attorneys of all time was Lionel Lacu from Georgetown, Guyana. He was in the 1985 Guinness Book of World Records for being the most successful lawyer in the world. Lionel successfully defended his clients in 245 murder trials. And he won 245 murder trials in a row, either before a jury or on appeal. Lionel was knighted twice by Queen Elizabeth. He became known as Sir Lionel Lacu. And he served as a distinguished diplomat. He also served as a justice on his country's highest court. Certainly, he was a first-class expert on evidence. What did he think about the evidence of the resurrection of Jesus? And after a careful examination, Lionel boldly stated, "I say unequivocally, I was asking Ellen how to pronounce this word yesterday, and I still don't know how to say it. Unequivocally, that the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so overwhelming," he said, "that it compels acceptance by proof, which leaves absolute no room for doubt." Yeah, he's an expert on evidence. He says, man, the evidence that Jesus is risen is overwhelming. Jesus is alive, friends. And this Easter, God wants to give you this truth worth trusting. Number two, God wants to give you a life worth living. He wants to give you a life worth living. I'm talking about a life filled with joy and purpose, a life filled with energy and excitement. This is the kind of life we see on display in Matthew 28, 6 to 8. Listen to again to the angel's good news about Jesus. "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And now we feel the change in the atmosphere. We feel a change happening as the truth sinks in. Listen what verse 8 says. "They went out," or they departed, "quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy." They ran to bring his disciples' word. The New Living Translation says they left the tomb quickly and they were frightened but also filled with great joy. Friends, Jesus is alive. The great news gives life to anyone who believes. It just changes your whole perspective, friend. Life that overcomes our tears. Life that overcomes our fears. Life that overcomes our failures. The disciples knew about failure, especially Peter, who had denied knowing the Lord 3 times. But you know, when Mark was writing about this event, Mark gives a little bit more detail. to the angel's message. There the angel said in Mark 16:7, but go and tell the disciples and Peter. You see that? That Jesus is going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him just as he said to you. You know, God wanted the angel to single out Peter, because you know what? He knew that Peter was struggling with his failure. And sometimes the Lord brings you into his presence so that you can hear him speak to you through his Holy Spirit, because we also struggle with failure. Listen, God wanted Peter to know, listen, Peter, your life is worth living. You are entitled and you are not excluded from the good news of the resurrection. Isn't that lovely? God wants to give each one of us a life that overcomes our tears, our fears, and our failures. And this Easter, God wants to give you a life worth living. Thirdly, God wants to give you a Lord worth loving. A Lord worth loving. Those ladies met the risen Savior and worshipped him with great love. Look at Matthew 28, verse 9 and 10. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. They came and held Jesus at his feet. This was a sign of their reverence, but also it was a sign of their love. They loved the Lord, and so should we, because Jesus, friends, loves you and I more than anyone in the world. When Jesus looks at you, he is all smiles. He's saying, there goes my Flora May. He thinks you're the best thing that ever happened. And he thinks that about all of us. It's like when I tell my grandchildren that they're the best. They say to me, but Grandpa, you said the same thing to the other one. Friends, the Lord loves you dearly. He loves you. And to prove that he loves us, he died on the cross for our sins. And that's why he is our best friend. In John 15:13. He said, greater love hath no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Notice in verse 10, he called his disciples, his followers, his brothers. What a blessing to know, friends, that we can come to Jesus as our brother and our best friend. We can worship him with great love and hear him say those words, rejoice, be glad, do not be afraid. I promise you that if you will receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, then through his Holy Spirit, he will meet with you. And Jesus will prove himself to always be someone you can worship in love. God wants you and to give you a Lord worth loving. And then God wants to give you a future worth finding. There is no hope, friends. Listen, I say this very gently. There is no hope for your future without Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Without Jesus, you have a hopeless end. But with Jesus, you have endless hope. Isn't that lovely? With Jesus, you have endless hope. Friends, with Jesus, you have a guaranteed future of eternal perfection. The angel gave those women a small glimpse of their future in verse 7 when he said, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him. And then Jesus, a few verses later, he confirmed this in verse 10 when he said, go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee. They will see me. There they will see me. Friends, let me say that if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then one day you will see him too. You will see him face to face. And you will live with him forever in heaven. The hymn writer says, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? The ladies went to the tomb in deepest despair. But the resurrection changed all of that. They were lifted up with new hope and great joy. They knew their future was secure because Jesus was alive. There was a celebration going on in their hearts. And the Lord wants to give you and I this gift of celebration as well. Friends, you know, in late March of 1993, a sudden snowstorm covered the east coast of the U.S. And over in the Smoky Mountains, it was the snow of the century. Many hunters and hikers were trapped in the park. Four doctors from Knoxville had chosen that weekend for a hunting trip in the Smoky Mountains. They only expected to be gone one night and didn't know about the coming storm, so they didn't even bother to tell their families exactly where they were going. They felt that their SUV could take them deep into the mountains and get them back without any trouble. But then the snow banked up so deep around the SUV that it refused to budge. This was those days before cell phones. And no one in the outside world knew where they were. Plus, they only had enough food for 2 days. They were scared and confused about what to do. Evening fell on the second day, still no contact with civilization. And their SUV was as trapped as ever. They divided a stale donut they found in the back of the vehicle. They were cold, hungry, and greatly discouraged. Would anyone find them before they froze or starved? Then they heard a sound overhead. The unmistakable sound of a helicopter. They jumped out of the SUV and started screaming and waving to be seen. The pilot did see them, but the helicopter was already full. Then the doctor saw a basket coming down, and in the basket was a note with one word: tomorrow. Tomorrow. That was one word that changed everything. Then the four of them, on top of their lungs, began to sing the well-known song from Annie. Tomorrow, tomorrow, I love you tomorrow. You're only a day away. Their fear was gone, friends. help was on the way. They would live to see another day. And this is the joy of Easter.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
This is the joy of Easter.
Amen.
Because of what Jesus did on the cross, friends, we won't have to worry about tomorrow. God loves us. Jesus has conquered sin and death, and we can live the resurrection life today. Amen.
Amen.
We will always have tomorrow. Jesus Christ wants to give it to you today, friends. This Easter, God wants to give you a future worth finding. And lastly, He wants to give you a story worth sharing. Christians, listen, friends, we have the story worth sharing. And that's why in Matthew 20, Matthew 28 verse 7, the Lord said, go quickly, what for? And tell the disciples that He is risen from the dead. And then in verse 10, Jesus said, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Go and tell. Go and tell. God wants all believers, every one of us, to go and tell the good news of the resurrected Lord. Amen.
Amen.
What a message. God loves us. He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for us. And Jesus can give us eternal life. Why? Because He is risen from the dead.
Yes.
Remember what Paul said to Timothy? 2 Timothy 2 verse 8. Paul says to Timothy, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. This is my good news. Friends, Jesus is alive. Amen.
Amen.
In conclusion, this is the life-changing, world-changing good news of Easter. And God wants to give it to you today. He wants to give you a truth worth trusting, a life worth living, a Lord worth loving, a future worth finding, and a story worth sharing.
Amen.
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 This is what God wants to give you today, friends. Put your trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. And rejoice today. Because Jesus is alive.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer.